Since this sermon is about interdependence, I thought that I would throw a little science in. Now, not being much of an expert on modern science, I emailed a retired friend who was a physicist in his working days, asking him about interdependence and interconnection. An abridged version of his reply goes, "Subject word is wunderbar. Don't giggle too much, but Joe Smith may have got it right. Everything in caps could be part of God in caps. Every grain of sand could be part just unconscious, as many humans are to some degree. Dark matter and dark energy has messed up Bohr and Einstein so," and then followed by 10 question marks. Well, after reflecting on my interesting friend's reply for a while, I thought maybe going to a book would be good. So I went to an oldish one, Fritjof Capra's 1976 classic, The Tao of Physics. Sure enough, there are loads of references to interconnection, to the oneness of it all beneath the surface. He speaks of the unity and interrelation of all phenomena. And he tells us, quantum theory reveals an essential interconnectedness of the universe. Capra also makes the point over and over that the old way of viewing reality as made up of separate components is simply outmoded and wrong. Quantum physics has spent the entire 20th century and beyond pointing out that reality is a web of relationships. Physicist David Bohm brings science's findings into the human realm when he says, "It is proposed that the widespread and pervasive distinctions between people, race, nation, family, profession, etc., which are now preventing mankind from working together for the common good, have one of the key factors of their origin in a kind of thought that treats things as inherently divided, disconnected, and broken up into yet smaller constituent parts. The notion that all these fragments is separately existent is evidently an illusion, and this illusion cannot do other than lead to endless conflict and confusion." Bohm's words are probably a good place for me to remind us, all of us, that this is a sermon, not a scientific reflection. And I know that dozens of you out there, from physicists through engineers to artists, know more than I do about quantum physics, dark matter, dark energy, waves and particles, quarks and strings. And I appreciate you. At the same time, if the worship reflection theme on a given morning is interconnection, even interdependence of all things, it's not a bad idea for Unitarian Universalists, we who think so much, to mix our spiritual thoughts with a leavening of science. We are, even after over a century of scientific discourse to the contrary, very subject to the big illusion of old science, that the universe is, in Bohm's words, inherently divided and disconnected. We are subject to the illusion that we humans are not only separate from the rest of creation, we are separate from each other. Abstract as these relational scientific notions are, they can be a foundation to us as we pursue lives that aim toward interconnectedness and interdependence, which means more love, more generosity, more giving each other breaks, because we are all part of a great oneness. If we move from scientists to spiritual writers, we get the same message. There's a good book that's called Belonging to the Universe, which is a conversation between Fritjof Capra, the Tao of Physics guy I just talked about, and Brother David Steindl-Rast, who is a Benedictine monk. The entire book is devoted to comparing modern science and modern religion / spirituality. Its foundational assumption all the way through is that we all, everything belongs to the same something. In the book, one of the people says, we are spiritual, and that's in quotation marks, that is united with God in society with others, or not at all. And these others are not only members of our own religion, but ultimately the whole human family. This is elaborated in the 2nd century by the anonymous letter to Diognetus, the great witness to early Christian universalism. The last book that was written by Forrest Church, a well-known Unitarian Universalist minister, died in 2009, Boise's Bethany Church's son. His last book is called The Cathedral of the World, a Universalist Theology. And his lovely metaphor for reality and truth is a huge cathedral with many, many, many windows of all colors and designs and patterns, all different, yet illuminated by the same one light. Eckhart Tolle, many of you have probably read, well-known modern spiritual writer. He's speaking of flowers and crystals and precious stones and birds, and he remarks almost offhandedly, like all life forms, they are, of course, temporary manifestations of the underlying one life, one consciousness. And let us never forget William Blake and his fabulous art and poetry. I remind you of the call to worship, to see a world in a grain of sand and heaven in a wildflower. Hold infinity in the palm of your hand and eternity in an hour. When we make a decision in a given situation to act as though we are part of a web of creation, as opposed to a fiercely separate individual entity, we probably will not be thinking consciously of science or religion or poetry. But a grounding in these widely ranging yet similarly themed ideas can support us on the hard road to interconnectedness. The more separate and different from us we think someone or something is, the more justified we feel in treating them or it as an object. The closer we feel related to the other, the more likely we are to realize those hard spiritual goals of humility, compassion, understanding, and love. The more we realize that we are integral parts of something nobody completely understands, the more we are likely to stand in soul relationship to the rest of the universe, including each other. Speaking of each other, having flown about a bit so far in the higher reaches of science and philosophy and religion and art, let us alight for the rest of the morning here in this room. There is interconnectedness and interdependence galore in this congregation. Deep friendships, old and new. Dreams, envisioned and realized. Disappointments that have torn our hearts and yet we have stayed. Mutual learning between young and old. Sacrifice. Gratitude for the blessings of our land. There has been so much time and substance given joyfully and so many problems solved. How many problems have we shouldered together through difficulty and joy and solved them. There is also, I am beginning to feel this fall, an elephant in our living room. About a year ago, I gave a sermon in which I announced that I will be retiring in June 2013 after 25 years of ministry here. At this point in our church, we speak fairly casually of this transition. When Elizabeth retires is a pretty common phrase. Leadership is acutely aware of the many things that we have to do in order to get our house in order for the new day, for the new ministries, and they are putting things in place competently and well. At the same time, there is a kind of spiritual and emotional lull going on, and I think it is related to the fact that I am going to retire after all this time. Sunday attendance is down for the first time in my ministry. In some situations, it's hard to find the energy in a group or groups. In all fairness, it's not at all hard to find it in others, like some of the classes that I go to. My intuitive perception of us as a whole right now is that we are a little disoriented and a little depressed. I hear things from the rumor mill, like a concern that I'm gone to a lot of meetings during October, perhaps with the implication that I am disengaging, when I have always had too many professional meetings in October. Not one thing has changed. I have heard almost whispered questions about whether it's really possible in this congregation now to have a successful debt reduction campaign in the fall and a joyful annual stewardship one in the spring. This possible crisis of confidence is about our interdependence. We are an incredibly complicated web of interconnected relationships, and we are contemplating the biggest change this church has seen in decades. It's not about me being the minister and the church not being able to get along without me, specific Elizabeth Green, longtime minister, me. It's way more complex than that. Yeah, most of you who are around probably do depend on me in some ways, individually and collectively and appropriately, for a lot of things. I'm the minister. Perspective maybe, vision sometimes, occasional inspiration, counsel, decent sermons, a listening ear, affection, organizational skills. Not all dependings actually get carried out really well. Humor, a voice in the community, spiritual leadership, all kinds of things. And this is where the inter part comes. I depend on you for a lot of things. For listening, for honesty, respect, the courage to challenge me, your time, treasure, and talent. Humor, friendship, organizational skills, commitment, forgiveness, vision. It would be impossible to graph or draw, at least almost impossible, the web of our different, mutual, ever-changing relationships. To further complicate matters, and this is extremely important, this amazing web of relationships, new and old folks in the congregation, is part of our commitment to the greater cause of liberal religion, to our minority faith that embraces us in all our diversities and commits to creating more justice in the world. This particular web, as we know it, is going to end in a relatively short time. It is no wonder, with all this going on, that maybe at least some of us have felt, at some level, a kind of loss of energy as we look at what is before us. Maybe even for some of us, the depression that attends upon denial of feelings. I have fairly recently emerged from just that kind of space myself, which is why I speak of it here today. There are plans afoot to address our longer than most people's period of transition, starting with a January visit from our district executive, the wonderful Janine Larson. The Committee on Ministry, with consultation from experts, will be addressing the spiritual and emotional parts of the transition. And the Board and Program Ministry Council are doing very good work trying to get structures in place. These are good, and they are necessary. At the same time, we interconnected people have to face each other about how we are as people, who we are, how we feel, and what our intentions are. Here's what I'm offering. Above all, my presence with you. I'm here. Except sometimes in October when I go to meetings. I'm your minister. I love this congregation with all my heart, and I commit to hold the vision, to nurture and challenge until it is genuinely time for me to fade away. I commit to as much honesty as I am capable of, sharing my ideas as well as my feelings of loss and confusion as we walk together toward the joy of a new day. And here's what I need from you. Above all, your presence with me and everyone else. I can see how some people might, at least unconsciously, think, I'll just kind of disengage till all of this hoo-ha is all done. Please don't. You and I and we, and the whole bright world of Unitarian Universalism need the Boise Unitarian Universalist Fellowship to be strong, understanding that a congregation is far more than its minister. Come to church. Thank you for doing that. Bring the kids. Volunteer for something. Make that generous financial pledge. Come to Second Saturday potlucks and have a good time. Contribute your ideas about how we can continue to live and grow and love each other during this stressful time. We have time to be with each other until we part. It will take the courage I know we have for us to stay present, to stay engaged, to hold each other as tightly and well as we always have. We have always been interdependent through good times and through some very bad ones. We have always been interconnected. The more we have realized and honored this web, the better people and the better church we have been. If we start slipping, we can remember all those scientists telling us that separateness is an illusion. Or we can dive into the mystics and the poets who tell us that our lives will have more love if we remember that we are part of the one. We are not islands. We are part of the main, the mysterious whole. And when the bells toll, the bells of joy and the bells of loss, we need not ask for whom they toll. They are for us, all of us.